Hello. It's
Wow, you right out of the gate, huh?
Well, you know, our guest today is reminding me of when we...
Oh, that's right, the accent episode.
The all-accent episode, which was 110 episodes ago that we, that we did this.
So, a very polarized response to that episode.
I think more people liked it than not. More people, since I've been on the road, since that episode, more people have gone, when are you going to do another accent one? A couple people have gone, yeah, don't ever do an accent one. But I think more people liked it than not. So in honor of that, I will introduce our first guest. He come all the way from, I am from Georgia. Not the one in the Europe, the one in the south of America.
The one in South America?
The one in the south part of the America. I am Georgia. I go possum hunting. I'm doing that because we
are
just...
Are you doing because of John Travolta from Killing Season coming
got
up?
He's like a Bosnian accent or
it's
something.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so preposterous.
It's a... Because Robert De Niro is an ex, you know, covert ops CIA guy.
Sure.
If you're hunting and you pick up a guy with a Russian or East European accent in the middle of the Midwest...
Yeah.
There can't possibly be any reason
and
for that.
A giant rifle and a crossbow.
Yeah, that has to be a coincidence. Why would that wouldn't make you suspicious?
I like hunting in the Montana.
I'm looking for a bus stop. Could you give me a ride to Greyhound?
Where I am GPSing aircraft carrier.
Denny's always open?
Yeah.
Do you have Denny's always open?
Dunkin', I love the Dunkin' Donut coffee.
The hot
Everyone
coffee.
Everyone tells me about the Dunkin' coffee.
And Bear Claw. Where can find Bear Claw?
I have a real Bear Claw here. It's not too tasty. But I'm looking for the one with sugar caked in
it. We just had a conversation. Is how do you put a limited release, a movie that has Robert De Niro and John Travolta in it? And then we saw the trailer, and that's when that's how.
Why.
Yeah, that's why.
Went, why?
From the director of Ghost Rider.
Let's get John Travolta in an Abe Lincoln beard and give him a weird accent. Yeah. By the way, our guest, Mr. Pat Francis.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, I have a podcast.
And the name of it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, your details. It's a rock solid comedy music podcast. Very similar to this, only with music.
With Gary Lucy. We've done
with
it.
Gary Lucy.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
You guys have done it. Yes, you have.
I didn't quite understand the parameters of it, I think, when I came on the show.
Lots of rules. I have lots of rules. Even Gary will go, hey, let's just be loosey-goosey. No. Stick to the topic, Gary.
Yeah. I emailed you bullet points. Stick with it.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
You kept going, Krem, that's not soundtrack. That's theme music. I was like, that's all fun.
So
it's
in keeping with that today, in preparation for this, I just watched episodes of Seinfeld. Is that right? So are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Like to talk about the contest. I want to talk about the
that episode where they were waiting in line to see a movie.
Oh,
we could do that.
Such good stuff.
But you know, we have a sponsor.
We have
today.
We have a couple.
We actually have a couple.
First, we need to do a shout out to this guy, Robert Kelly, is a fan of the show. Is doing a Kickstarter campaign for this online comic book called Ace Kilroy, and it's really cool. And if you go to acekilroy.com. And then there's a link to their Kickstarter page, and it's really cool because these are like these are comic book people. They've been working on this for a while.
And it's not a new project. It's actually season two.
Yeah, they want to do season two, and so just like they did with season one, and they're going to offer it in print, and then you can Kickstarter, you can get PDFs of it, and. Volume two signed by Robert
and they're
Kelly.
Cheap donations. It's only like $20.
And here's
the great thing: they've already reached their goal before this ad.
Right.
So what that means is really, even if you're just thinking of advertising a shout out with us, once you pay the money, chances are, even before we say anything, you'll hit your goal.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Will
your
help.
Thoughts and your check will help you hit your goal.
No, but this again, we don't just, we get a lot of requests and we don't take all of them. This one looked very cool to us.
Yeah, I'm going to donate to it. I love this kind of mashup of monsters, period pieces, pulp fiction-y type comics.
I like the old pulp fiction-y stuff. And the cool thing is, since it is funding, anything that you donate, you're going to get it. It's not, I hope this funds, because you're going to get all of the cool stuff that you get when you donate. And it's it's really cool. Like, you watch the video of it, and I'm down with this. We like supporting stuff like this on this show. Yep. That's why we do it. So go to Ace Kilroy.
Check out the video, and you'll be all about
it. He's a pet detective, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
I go hunting for pets. There are feral cats in my neighborhood I will take care of.
Yeah, it's very much a pulp detective.
Yeah, it's kind of in the vein of The Shadow, but with, like, you know, classic monsters and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's fighting Nazis and monsters and Dracula and Wolfman and everybody. Yeah. So it's
okay.
Everything you want. It's acekilroy.com, and also we'll put a link to it on the Facebook fan page, the Comedy Film Nerds fan page. And now we also have a sponsor.
Yeah, this is very exciting. And these sponsors were actually fans of ours. They emailed, which is great. And it's another product. They were like, you know what, we could kind of use that. Actually, and they sent us a couple, and you already used
one
already.
Here's what I've been using it for. First, I've been using it for its intended purpose of drain claw, which is clears out your drain without using, like,
chemical
stuff. Which, you know, those drain clearing chemicals are awful
for a soy hippie like you.
This is a perfect hippie instrument.
Yeah, I mean, you were just pouring coconut water down the drain to clear the hair.
I was just meditating over the drain, hoping that its shock was released.
I want to know about
hair would come out.
I want to know about this good drain cleaner stuff.
Drain claw.
So you go to thedrainclaw.com. It's thedrainclaw.com. And what it is, it's a device that go ahead.
It's a wire that has like a pipe cleaning head, like a hard bristle edge. But it's a wire that you can get in your pipe anyway. And then you basically just dig it out and physically pull the stuff up. An eyeball?
Oh, gross. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, it's hair and horrifying business, but you get it out of there. And you're not using any chemicals. It's better for the environment. They're made in the USA. Mm-hmm.
Is there a patent pending on this? Because I might take this on Shark Tank and see what I can do. Sounds like something I could make some money off of.
Yeah, they should go to Shark Tank.
They should get it. I think they're doing okay, though. They've
don't
been
sell
all
it to
other...
the bald guy. That guy's a dick. Yeah. Oh. I would never go with him ever. Mm-mm. He's a complete dick.
No, Kevin.
And he would want to get it made overseas and cheap. He's the worst. He's the worst.
Let's
farm this out for 3 cents and we'll sell it for $20. Yeah. I love money. That's what I'm here for. I need your money.
And you can just tell he's going to fuck people over.
Right, yes.
So Drain Claw, the other thing that is...
Drain Claw, don't go on Shark Tank.
Don't go
is what we're saying.
Or if you do, just don't go with Kevin.
Yeah.
No, don't go with Kevin.
Go with what's his name? Cuban. Mark Cuban.
Because he looks like Stallone.
Right. He looks like he looks like a Stallone.
Yeah.
A late Rocky Stallone.
Right.
And an off-brand Stallone.
Right, exactly.
And he's, you know, Cuban's a decent, you think like he's going to go good deal. Here's what I like. Yeah. Here's the other thing I use Drain Claw for. Because I've already been testing it out.
Your sinuses.
Are you constipation?
Yeah. Do you a lot of cocaine? Yeah. These are great for that.
Nose claw.
Nose claw.
Ass claw.
You have weird sexual proclivities. This is great for that.
So you've been using it for something different, it sounds like.
Here's what I've been using it for. Okay. In keeping with being a weirdo hippie, I have a reusable, like you can buy a
ball of yarn.
And I play with it like I'm a cat. I don't have pets, but I jump around like a cat because I'm nuts.
Every time I visit, it gets bigger and bigger.
It's bigger. And Drain Claw is making it even giant, more giant. No, you go to like Starbucks or Jamba Juice and they have those. You can buy a reusable plastic glass or plastic cup. And it comes with a reusable plastic straw because as a hippie, single-use plastic is the worst for the environment.
Right.
So I have one of those, and because I'll make a smoothie in my house and then take it when I drive up here to Chris's house after I work out in the morning. Yeah. Today, I swam laps. First I went on my roof and
practice with your samurai
practice with my samurai sword and meditated, and then I swam laps.
Yes.
Then I made a smoothie and come here and came here. So the plastic straw, so you just reclaim it. So I never use their packaging. It's like a, you know.
When do you fit in hemp weaving? I know, because I know you were making an Afghan last time I was there.
I'm just afraid that you've just had this drain claw down your drain, and now you're putting it in your straw.
They gave me two. They gave us a bunch of samples. Okay. So I have two. I have one all that's right. for the drain. I'm not going to use the second one's mm-hmm. the strain. I'm not a filthy...
Right. I know what you're talking about.
So
though.
Does
when
it get
a smoothie
the hair
through
out of
a
the
straw, all that stuff gets gunked
you
up in there.
You can't clean Even, it.
You can run hot water through it all you want. It just isn't coming
it's
clean.
It's not coming out. The drain claw, boom.
Done.
Clean.
Yeah.
Folks, the drain claw people didn't even know it was made for this use.
Yeah.
So if you have a hippie reusable plastic straw.
Straw claw.
Straw claw.
It rhymes.
It rhymes. Drain claw guys, put that on your thing. Good for straws.
The other thing I like about it too is it's cheap. It's like $6.99 or something.
Yeah,
it's like the price of like two apps.
Is there a website to find this?
TheDrainClaw.com.
Boy, Pat, you know how to peruse some ad copy across the table.
DrainClaw.com.
And then we'll put a little ad button too on our site, so you guys can just go to our site and then go right to get a drain claw, and you can like get like a 3-pack or whatever. So we are happy to have Drain Claw as a sponsor.
Thanks, guys.
TheDrainClaw.com.
Made in America, environmentally friendly, and can go in all kinds
and
of
can
orifices.
Go in straws. Yeah, and every
sounds
week,
great.
Graham will come up with a new use for the drain claw.
All right,
for the term of this ad.
Done.
I bet there will be other uses that you find.
Of course.
Seriously, you're going to be, how am I going to get there?
Right. There's always something like, there's no way to clean that
thing. I can't get in that.
Boom. Drain claw. Done.
You know, sometimes the tube on your vacuum cleaner will get stuff cut down in there. I wonder if this would work.
Of course it would.
Why not?
It's great.
Yeah.
Bam. We just added another thing. DrainClaw.com.
All right. You're 1 week ahead now.
So can I take next week off?
Yeah. You're done. In terms of Drain Claw other uses,
Drain
you're
claw
done.
Other uses? You never know what I'm going to find.
Well, let's get into it. Do you want to start with White House Down?
Sure.
Now, but first I want to say, Neil, in the last couple of days, Neil's been very busy on the website.
Okay.
There's been a Neil-a-palooza of reviews. And it's everything from Lone Ranger to Despicable Me to White House Down. They're all reviews there. And also, the thing about Neil's reviews is sometimes you'll also get a differing opinion than what we say. And the other thing about Neil's reviews, they're a little more forgiving than
Neil's
how we are.
He's a forgiving human being. He just likes being outside of his house.
He's the most prolific person on your site.
Right, no question.
No question about it.
Yeah. And so sometimes, and that's what we love about having different voices on the site. Sometimes they might have a completely different take, although that's rare. But he's definitely a little, he's always a little.
This week?
Yeah, definitely a little easier on Lone Ranger than I'd need to have a talk with him.
Like when I go to your site, I say, I wonder what Laura House thinks about Despicable Me. I sign on Neil. I wonder what Mike Schmidt thinks about Iron Man 3. Neil. Okay.
Well, maybe they should send some emails to Mike and Laura and get them to start writing some more.
Yeah, come on, guys.
We need to drain claw them.
Pick it up.
So go ahead, White House Down. Let's do it.
White House Down is exactly what you think it was. I mean, there's no... Nothing is different about it.
Could you just swap the credits from Olympus Is Falling, and then it would have just been the same movie?
It has.
Are they both black presidents?
No.
No.
One's a white guy.
Well, then you know which one I'm on board with.
You're for the Obamacare of ones. So this one has some sort of, a little more... intrigue. I don't want to give anything away in terms of who the bad guy is.
Is it the president?
Oh, who knows? I don't know. You'll
what a twist. So Jamie Foxx is the president.
Jamie Foxx is the president. Channing Tatum is the Secret Service.
I always call him Tatum Channing.
Tatum Channing.
It can really go either way if you think about it.
And I got to tell you, after this is the end, I am completely on board with Channing Tatum. The character he played in This Is the End, that he was Danny McBride's bondage cannibalistic love slave. I was like, if that's what he's got a sense of humor about himself. So this movie there's nothing in it where you're like, oh no way, that's cool. Like, it's everything you would expect it to be
from a Roland Emmerich movie.
Of course. It's Roland Emmerich doing what Roland Emmerich does. Now, I would have been kind of annoyed at this film had I paid for it and had I not seen it on the same day as The Lone Ranger. It makes The Lone Ranger
Dr. Zhivago.
It's The Lone Ranger makes White House Down look like, wow, this is a really good acting. At least White House Down isn't insulting you.
Yeah.
It's a dumb action film that's very predictable, but you're not
You know what you're getting into.
You saw the movie poster. You shouldn't be shocked at that.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into.
You know what you're getting into. The Lone Ranger is...
It's an iconic character that should be treated as such.
I don't even know where to begin.
Should we get started?
A little bit. Go easy, because we're going to do a spoiler up in The Lone Ranger. Yeah. So go broad strokes.
Okay.
He's a cowboy.
Should we have Pat go first, or should
we
take turns? All right, let's have Pat go first for Lone Ranger. And
first.
Pat brought dolls. Pat brought dolls. Very cool. I think I used to have those.
Yeah,
as
these
a
are
kid.
Good.
Those are the old ones, the old school.
These came out when we first moved out here. Remember, they had like the Happy Days ones and stuff. So these are about 15
years. You're a collector. You collect dolls and whatnot.
Yeah, I've been starting to get rid of them on eBay and stuff though, because they're just packed away.
Sure.
And like Toy Story, kids should play with these.
Right.
All right.
So that was it. Just to do that.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm a Lone Ranger fan from way back.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
His hat doesn't come off. That's not cool.
All right.
Okay. So, the Lone Ranger. I've been wanting a Lone Ranger movie. I met my wife in 95. And ever since then, I've been telling her, I wish they'd make a Lone Ranger movie.
So you were going into this...
With expectations.
High expectations?
Hoping? Because it's been 32 years since The Legend of the Lone Ranger.
Right.
In preparation, I rented... via Netflix, The Legend of the Lone Ranger.
How'd that hold up?
Better than the new Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
It was not a great movie. I know what movie you're talking about.
I remember that. I remember watching that movie as a kid going, oh, that was fun.
I remember not thinking it was good. And so I was like, well, let's see what... And the only thing bad about The Legend of the Lone Ranger is there's a narrator who comes on. It's very like Dukes of Hazzard type narrator, and he'll tell you stuff that just happened. Now the Lone Ranger and Tonto are kind of in a fix now since they got their. It's like, okay, we know that.
If I were those Duke boys.
It's exactly. Yeah. Now
hand
I don't know how they're going to get out of this scrap. It's like, okay, we don't need that. But and then the actor who played the Lone Ranger then was Clinton Spilsbury, and they
he's had a huge career.
They dubbed his whole performance, James Keach. So I don't know what his voice sounded like. Hey, Tonto! but it's a flawless dubbing too.
Me thinking I will use Silver Bullet now.
Tonto is this is Bosnian.
I will find the people that take my village.
There's so many differences between these two movies. I don't even know where to start with the Lone Ranger.
Well, maybe I'll start. I'll give you guys some broad strokes.
Yes, please.
And here's the thing about this.
I'm going to quote real quick before you start, Chris. Mm-hmm. A fan, Robbie Stevens, posted this on the Facebook page.
Hi, Robbie, you're on. Go ahead.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Robbie said, if you make a movie about a hero, don't make him a pussy.
Yes. That's the biggest thing. Must mean pussy.
I don't even think that's the biggest thing. I think that's even... there's so many things wrong with this movie is that that's even down farther on the list. Mm-hmm. I went into this movie with no expectations. I was thought, okay, well, maybe this will surprise me. Maybe this will be like a John Carter.
Right.
And but I'm going to preface this a little bit by saying this is where, again, broad strokes. Disney has a long and rich history of making family movies that both adults and children can enjoy. They have everything from Treasure Island to Swiss Family Robinson and also 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, where they would take a classic story. They... would kind of familyize it a little bit, but they wouldn't shy away from like some of the darker elements, like James Mason talking about killing people in the Nautilus as Captain Nemo. Yeah. That was all, and they would use good actors. They would be solid actors, but it never would go too far in one direction where it was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible for children, or this is like, oh, this is just for kids. There's nothing here for adults, and it was a proud tradition, and I could see with this movie. That they kind of tried to do this and failed unbelievably miserably.
Yeah.
This movie was... I was watching 4 to 5 different movies as I was watching this movie, and each one was horrible in a different way.
Yeah, 4 to 5 bad
films. Yeah. Yeah.
It wants to be everything to everyone.
At first it was...
And it can't. You can't do that.
At first it was a kid's movie. Like, okay, this is, you know, kind of for kids. Then it was a comedy. Mm-hmm. Then it was a Western. Then it was a bloody supernatural revenge drama. And it was all these things together. Everyone on that set was making a different movie.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the biggest problem with this film. Now, I do want to say, too, a couple of people have emailed and said, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was okay. No.
It was horrible.
And after we talk about this, I want to change your mind a little bit because you need to be less forgiving and less tolerant of this type of filmmaking. Right. And
otherwise,
also,
you're going to keep getting this type of
filmmaking. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting it. And also, as parents, if I see a movie like this marketed as a kid's movie, like maybe like a Shanghai Noon, like a kind of a fun action western or whatever, and then I see graphic violent images and some graphic weird kind of nightmarish
but it is PG-13 scenes.
It is PG-13, but it wasn't marketed as a PG-13 movie.
Right, but I still, as a parent, I go with that rating.
We do yeah. We see the ratings and we know what we're
going
into.
I took my daughter's 12 and a half, so right. She did want to see it, and so she did go with me.
Yeah, but it's disingenuous to try to cut trailers and make it look like a comedy where it's a kid's movie, and then when we get there, there's the scenes that are nowhere near a kid's movie. Even Neil says in review, don't take young kids to this movie. But you wouldn't know that from the trailers or the marketing. There's Lone Ranger dolls. There's Lone Ranger Legos. Yeah. And, you know, when you see these weird, like, crazy nightmarish images. I mean, this is also the director who did The Ring.
Right.
So The Ring remake. So
I stay away from, with parent stuff, I stay away from when men have guns and they're shooting men.
Right.
Like Avengers, I took my 8.5-year-old because they're fighting aliens.
Right.
So it's a disconnect. You know what I mean?
It's not realistic violence, and it's not supposed to be.
Right. But so, like Iron Man 3.
That was a little rougher.
Yes, because even though they're not quite human, it's still they're shooting at someone that
and
looks
like and there were
like
some terrorism themes, and there
yes.
was stuff
so,
that was a little
so,
bit
so,
rougher.
Yeah, my kids did not see Iron
Man 3. I'm way on the same
did
page
with you,
Patrick.
Did your 12-year-old like it, Pat?
The Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
She thought it was fun, but she also thought it was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Plus she was out with dad at night with her cousin who's 24. So I think
it's a fun experience
to begin. It was a different experience for her.
Now, the thing that infuriated me about this movie is if you would have picked one of these genres and put this movie in, you might have been able to pull it off. Mm-hmm. If you would have picked like a family Western with the Lone Ranger, then you could have pulled it off. Mm-hmm. If a comedy, no, you wouldn't have been able to. And a bloody violent revenge drama, you still could have done that. You could have pulled it off there too. Yep. And then we get into the nitty gritty of like Pat was saying, you have a hero that does nothing throughout the entire movie, that's ultimately a victim and needs Tonto to save him through the entire thing. It was like watching Bella Swan. It was like watching a Twilight movie. We're like, oh, well, now I'm following around somebody that does nothing for 2 hours.
You know, Army Hammer, this is, I think this could actually be a career, not ending, but hurting performance.
Well, let's just say it won't help him.
He doesn't have any weight as a hero. He doesn't carry himself heroically.
Right.
At all.
No.
I know.
I mean,
I don't know if that was his fault, though. I'm not sure.
I blame Gore Verbinski because Gore Verbinski, he's done the Ring and The Weatherman. That's the only movies that I could even.
Didn't he do the first Pirates movie?
He did do the first Pirates.
Yeah.
And that is fun.
And okay. You know what? The first Pirates movie.
That was a mistake. And everything else he does is shitty.
It had an even tone all the way through.
It did.
The first Pirates movie, you could see, okay.
And this tried to steal a little from that at times. I mean, some of the set pieces.
Here's why that movie is the worst.
Which one?
The first Pirates.
Okay.
Not for its content. It was an entertaining film. It's the worst because it set us on this horrifying path of Johnny Depp is a comedic actor. No, enough. Enough with this guy.
And every Pirate sequel is a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Keeps doing this.
And they're doing two more. They're going to do two more back to back.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, because they keep making money.
I can't listen to. So Native Americans in 1860 said, not so much. Is that how they spoke back? Like, enough. Right.
Yeah. And didn't the one Native American go, what's with the.
Yeah.
What's with the mask? Maybe that's what he said. Right.
That was the translation. Yeah, under the subtitle. So it was. Now I don't even know if I blame the artist as much. I don't know if I blame Gore Verbinski, Johnny Depp, Armie Hammer. I don't know. To me, the blame falls solely on the studio and the insane and ignorant and incompetent studio executives that put this together and had no idea what to do with it and put it together in such a sloppy and ham-handed fashion. Like, the thing that's infuriating is these are obvious and simple mistakes that if you're maybe a 22-year-old movie executive, you might make.
Yeah.
And you might make it on $1 million movie. This is a huge studio, huge budget movie, and these are mistakes made by retarded people. And, I mean, literally, this is insane.
And also, like, with Superman, with Man of Steel, where we get the origin story yet again, and we all know where Superman comes from.
Right.
But with the Lone Ranger, it's okay to do an origin story right now. And they didn't do it, really.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
That would have been...
They even messed that up.
The Legend of the Lone Ranger from the 80s was a better origin story.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? The word ranger is right in the title.
Yes.
So maybe he should have been a ranger.
Yeah.
I mean...
Instead of a lawyer.
Yeah.
Who wore a badge just on this one day. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, what?
This was Daddy's badge.
Whoops.
Yeah, so, and what for those of you that haven't seen it, this is not a spoiler. This is right in the beginning, is that his brother is a famous lawman, and he gets deputized, and he goes along, you know, he basically does a ride-along.
Right.
You know, with the other cops.
Right.
And that's when they get ambushed, which is the, you know, classic Lone Ranger story.
The Legend of the Lone Ranger.
And you know what? If that happens... Chances are he'd be a little angrier.
Yeah.
Oh, instead of just this like Barney Fife.
Yeah, yeah. Donnie Knotts in The Shakiest Gun in the West has more screen presence than Armie Hammer does. It's ridiculous.
It's
such a simple story too. The Rangers get ambushed, and then Tonto he doesn't bring him back from the dead.
Right.
He nurses him back to health. Actually trains him in the ways of the Indian. This is all the stuff that you don't get in this. And then tells him, if you want to find these men, you're going to have to hide your identity. You're going to have to wear a mask. And then they go and they exact revenge. Right. There's your movie. That's, not all this crazy bullshit that they put in here.
And Johnny Depp.
You know what they just said? Johnny Depp, just do something goofy.
Oh,
and that's all it was.
And then, we better make... And then after they saw the dailies went, we better start putting stuff in interviews where he says he's 158th Cherokee.
Oh, that was my favorite part. What part of Cherokee was he? Oh, the publicist part.
Oh, come on. That is the most... And this is so racist. If he was doing this like an Asian guy going, hello, people would be like, how is this permissible?
What if he was building the railroad?
Oh, God.
I wasn't...
Like, put him in blackface and be like, yes, a boss.
See,
like,
I didn't mind him as Tonto that much. I didn't mind... I mean, I don't mind him playing Tonto. What he does with the role is... We can talk about that.
Right.
But I didn't mind him playing Tonto because I think all the other... Native Americans were Native American actors.
I will say, I think because he's such a good actor, I agree with you here saying he made you less angry about it.
Yeah. And they put that little like nose piece on him to give him like a little Indian type nose here. He had like and I liked the makeup and I did like Tonto's...
Well, that was the trick to cover his complexion.
Right. Yeah. And I did like his backstory with, we won't get into that, but what...
Right.
Why he's really involved with these guys. I didn't mind that. That could have fit right into a nice origin story as well.
So then why is he wacky? Like it just...
Do Indians roll their eyes?
Yeah. Native Americans speak like a 23-year-old in America today?
Yes.
Like it was... I can't imagine... a friend of mine who's Native American is just like, it was so offended at this. And I'm just like, I can't even... I thought we got past white guys on screen with tans going, hey, me em, like em, horse em.
Right.
I thought like the 50s
I would have
ended.
Been more entertained if he would have done that.
Oh, God. I remember seeing the trailer going, what?
Smoke em peace pipe.
And then
you should have said
something
that.
In an interview where Johnny Depp was like, oh, I'm 1/1000th Indian.
When Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer are on screen together, you almost hear like somebody on the crew going, all right, now they need a location. And now they need an emotion. All right, and a horse.
Oh yeah, it was bad.
Yeah,
improv.
It's
not a good film.
There's just so many like,
and it was so bloated, and it was so like
it's
so
2.5 hours long.
So much and so
Too much
money was spent on it, and even like the giant set pieces with the trains.
Yeah.
And there was actually practical effects. They blew some shit up.
Yeah, they did. They built 5-mile stretch of train track.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was insane. Like if you're gonna spend that much money, oh my God, get your development right. It didn't have to be that hard.
And when, you know, as an audience member, you sit there and you know what parts could be trimmed out to make this an hour and 40 minutes instead of 2:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm glad it lost a lot of money.
Yeah, so and then that's when you go, oh, that graphic violence doesn't really fit from them making jokes about a horse in the last scene.
It doesn't make sense. We'll go into the specifics.
Yeah, yeah. It was
specific scenes, and
it was a mess, and it only made $48 million, but this is, again, what the problem with these bloated, giant Hollywood tentpoles. And Spielberg and Lucas, they have been talking about how this type of filmmaking is going to implode Hollywood, and they are absolutely right. Now, what if you made kind of a decent, maybe even like a lower budget Lone Ranger, and it cost maybe, I don't know, $80 million. And it had kind of a cool tone, and it didn't really do...
A real Western.
And maybe in the first weekend it only made $50 million. Would you be that worried? No, right. You know, in the next couple of weeks it'll creep up to 80, and then you'll make it on DVD and on demand. So there's no way these movies, unless they're Jurassic Park, are going to make their money back, because they have to be really, really, they have to be Avengers. If you're going to spend over $200 million on a movie, I don't know, spend a little more time developing the actual art of it, the story, the characters, the fact that you have a hero that does nothing. That's not even movies. That's storytelling 101.
Yep.
If you have a protagonist, he has to be active.
All right. Well, since we're talking about that, let's get into all the – Pat, I know you're a huge comic book guy and comic book movie guy. What have you thought of the superhero movies that have come out thus far?
Iron Man 3 I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
We liked it too. Yeah,
and I know, and I won't give it away. But I know there. If you're a purist, I know there's a twist in there with one of the characters
that you're not gonna like.
That you might not like. And I'm like, I didn't like it, and yet I loved it. I was like, oh, that's really ballsy that they did something like that.
Didn't see it coming.
Did not see it coming at all. And that actor gets to chew the scenery twice.
Right.
And the actor that they got to do it is
amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the cast in Iron Man 3 is great.
Did you think it was the best of the three Iron Man movies?
I think it's right equal with 1 for me. Because that's such a... Iron Man 1 is a great origin story.
So great.
Perfect.
It's a great introduction to the world and the character.
I mean, they both eclipse 2, but 2 is unwatchable.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I love that. I loved Star Trek Into Darkness. I don't know what you thought of it, but I loved it.
Were you a Star Trek fan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I was too. I really thought it fell just drastically short from the first one. Like, the first one was so great, the first J.J. Abrams one, because I was like, awesome, rebooting the franchise, mm-hmm. introducing us to all this.
Yep.
And then this one just...
You got to do a little more.
They got to do more. Like he.
Now, we did not like it. Yeah. I mean, we thought, but we just didn't.
See, I've seen Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness. I've seen them both twice.
Okay.
At the theater.
Which ones do you think is better?
I really liked Star Trek.
You think Star Trek is better than Iron Man 3?
I liked it. I'm not going to say it's better, but I might say I liked it better.
Okay. Now, Superman.
But because Cumberbatch was amazing.
Yeah, Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch is very good.
And even when they did all those things, like as soon as Kirk went into the radiator, I go, oh, they're going to play this all out in reverse. And I was like sitting there with a chill, loving that they were going to do that.
That annoyed me.
I didn't mind that at all. And I like that they give these people something to do except sit behind the con now. They all have something. They all get something. Like Uhura would have never been beamed to help out in a fight in the 60s, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but yeah.
Doesn't really bother you that all the jobs were interchangeable? Oh, no, you go run the engine room.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Well, I mean, I could nitpick anything. You can nitpick anything. Sure. So,
and here's a good example of that.
And I thought it looked great.
Honestly, it's, and we talked about this before with a movie like, say, Cloud Atlas. Mm-hmm. If you're on board with the movie, you'll forgive more.
Yeah.
And then if you're not on board with the movie, all of a sudden those little things become larger
larger.
So I really think that's going on with movies like Star Trek, where, you know, if it washes over and you're like, you forgive a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you're not on board with it, you're like, hey, wait a minute, what about blah, 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 blah.
Well, even the fourth...
Then it becomes Prometheus.
Yeah, the fourth time I watched... the fourth time I watched Avengers, I'm like, you know what I mean? Stuff starts to... If you... really watch it at more and more and more, stuff starts
with a more critical eye.
Yeah. Okay, so we did Iron Man and Star Trek, and then what?
We've still got a bunch coming up. Are you looking forward to Kick-Ass and Wolverine.
Yes, yes. I love Hugh Jackman as the Wolverine. I mean, there's a guy who is the exact opposite of Armie Hammer.
Right.
That guy embraces it and embodies it.
He lights up the screen.
Yeah, and I love that he, you know, a lot of people go, look, I've done that 3 times. I don't want to do it. No, he's like, I'll be the Wolverine until they tell me they don't want me to be the Wolverine. Yeah. Why not? Then I can do all the other stuff I want to do. But I'm not excited about the Wolverine the way I was about all these other movies. I guess just because I kind of feel it will be good. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you just know, you're just confident.
Confident that's going to be good. I mean, even the X-Men Origin Wolverine, there's
not
part
good.
Right, but there's parts in that I think are great. I love the opening when they're all in the different time periods.
Right.
I love all that, and he's still good. But yeah, then it falls apart. But I mean, I know it's going to be better than that.
Yeah, it'll be better. And every trailer that comes out, I get more excited.
I know,
about
man.
This movie.
All the
latest trailer is fantastic.
It's pretty great.
The stuff he's in Japan, which they took a lot from the comics. And, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited about
I'm
that.
Excited
let's
too.
Go back to this though. What did you think of Man of Steel?
I think I like Man of Steel better than you guys liked it, mm-hmm. but it's not perfect by any means. I give it about a 7, and that might be even. But compared
were
to Lone Ranger,
fan?
You know what? I'm a fan of seeing that S up on the screen.
Right.
Yeah, and that guy's got a hot ass. No, I'm
not like a drain
cloth. So I mean, and part of me, you know, I wanted it to be so great, and I did enjoy watching it. Now, yeah, if we talk about it now, because Schmidt hates it, it's like
right.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you know, talking about the Holocaust with him. He's like the worst. But
I know, because you wanted you emailed. You're like, Graham, I really want to do the spoiler app.
Because I know you guys hated it.
I want to do the spoiler of A Man of Steel. And I was like, you know, with Mike Schmidt, it's too many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
we couldn't have
had it.
But
it would have been an incomprehensible mess of like yelling. A wall of noise.
So you guys hate the whole thing.
I didn't hate the whole thing. It just had so many things about it.
I disliked the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Hate's a strong word. There's just so many things about it. I was so excited the first like 25, 30 minutes, and I was like, oh, yeah.
I love the opening.
Yeah. The opening was great.
And Krypton was great.
And then it just all... Yeah, Krypton was great.
Yep.
Russell Crowe I really
great.
Liked.
And then it went all in all different wrong directions as it unraveled.
Yeah. Too much destruction... of Metropolis. I mean, you never bounce back from that.
No.
And
it's ridiculous. I told Schmidt, I go, Man of Steel 2 or whatever they call it has to start with Superman like putting the last girder on the last building as if to symbolize I rebuilt the entire city.
That I blew up.
Yeah. You know,
that,
I blew it up and I rebuilt
it. 10 years.
And he just gives a construction worker a thumbs up.
Yeah. As they all stand next to the coffins.
Exactly.
The other thing that would be nice is if they gave him, I don't know, some dialogue would be good in the next one.
I like, All right, so what do you, let's go. We haven't really talked about this much.
I guess because I want to see the DC Universe come on screen.
So do I.
But I don't want them.
Why do they keep fucking it up? So
yeah, far? And I don't want them to, but I'll tell you why, because now they're rushing it. We're going to get a Justice League, and we're going to get a, and
you know, it used to be the Marvel ones they would fuck up. Isn't that amazing how it switched around?
But Marvel took their time with this, what they're doing now, and now they're in a groove, and they're just going to.
They're going to keep going.
Because, I mean, I think the Thor trailer looks great.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so excited for Thor. I was like.
Yeah, and Thor was a comic book hero that was never on my radar.
I know, I never got into him.
Silly, helmet, hammer.
Oh, you know what, this brings me to a really good point. I want to make this suggestion to if anybody from Disney is listening right now.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
If you are, first buy a drain cloth and then acekilroy.com.
Disney has a huge feature film division problem right now. And this is like one in a bunch of misfires. What Disney did with the animation department is like, you know what, we're kind of doing these straight to DVD releases. We're making stuff like Home on the Range with Roseanne Barr as a cow. Why don't we buy Pixar and let them run the entire animation division?
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And then it cleaned everything up. And the stuff that's been coming out there, even everything that's not necessarily Pixar movies like Tangled or Wreck-It Ralph, they've been fantastic. They've been really, really good.
Because Lasseter's been executive Lasseter producing those, right?
Yeah, he's involved in every single thing that has the word animation in it at the Disney lot. And you also look at some of the DC stuff. Jeff Johns, who is a big comic book guy, they put in charge of a lot of DC, like the translations to TV and stuff like that. I don't know if he's still doing it, but that was like a golden age for them. What Disney needs to do is to hire Joss Whedon to run the live action feature division. And then all of a sudden you would see a lot of this nonsense just go away because he's not going to tolerate it. So that is my suggestion. Let Joss Whedon run live action.
But we put everyone is all about Joss Whedon because of one thing, right? Because of the Avengers.
No. He's had quite an illustrious career. I mean, he started out as a writer on Roseanne.
Okay.
And all the way through to Buffy, and those shows were amazing.
All right.
And then,
but I mean, as far as motion pictures go, it's...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, creatively, he has the instincts that clearly these other executives lack, because he understands tone, narrative, and storytelling. So that's my suggestion. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, what do you got?
Here's what I want to talk about. Because we haven't talked about it much, is that because I just saw the trailer again. It's for Kick-Ass 2.
Okay.
And I loved Kick-Ass. We talked about it a lot on the show.
It's rated R.
It's
not for kids.
No, it is what if people were legitimately dressing up and going out there fighting. They weren't from Crazy Planet.
Right. With powers.
You saw that trailer, but you go, oh, this is a movie for kids.
Yeah, well, that was a horrible trailer. So the first one was great, and now that they've taken some time, and it didn't have a huge box office, you know, but it became sort of, it did well.
Cult following,
mm-hmm. and DVD and video on demand, and it did all that. I'm excited for this film. You know, it has a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have Nick Cage because they killed that character,
right.
Which was great.
Right.
I'm glad they, you know, because that's someone's going to die in that world.
That's right.
And you're not going to run around and do that stuff
and not die.
I like the fact that this whole team is supervillains. What, based on the trailers that you guys have seen, Pat, are you excited for?
I am excited for Kick-Ass. Definitely. Uh-huh. Definitely excited. It's so funny with Kick-Ass, the violence did not bother me. But that little girl saying cocksucker and all those words, that I was like, oh, that was really, you know.
Because you're a parent?
Because, well, and I think my daughter's kind of maybe that age at that time.
Right. And she's getting in a lot of fights.
She's really good with
a knife. She's been wearing a costume. But I'm totally excited for Kick-Ass. Mm-hmm. I don't think of that as a superhero movie for some reason, though. Even though it is.
It's
a hero movie, not a superhero movie.
It isn't it's based on a comic book, but it isn't based on some iconic
intellectual property.
Right, exactly. That's some giant franchise that has theme parks and stuff like that.
Oh, and real quick to change just pace a little, but the way you were saying Joss Whedon should be in charge of that, I think that they should get the guys that are in charge of the DC animated Bruce Timm and these guys.
Absolutely.
Hand over the live action DC movies to those guys.
People have been saying that for years.
Then why don't they do it?
Those animated DC movies are amazing.
They blow everything out of the water.
I know, they're so good.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Like, just get the team that did the Red Hood.
Those are 75 minutes.
I know.
They get all that story and all that stuff in 75 minutes.
And action and character development. Yep.
That last Superman one was fantastic.
I know. They're so good.
I know. Okay, so anyway, Kick-Ass, totally excited for Kick-Ass.
What do you think?
I'm looking forward to it too. It's the problem is when you add like Jim Carrey and a bunch of other characters, it could kind of go off the rails a little bit. You don't know, but I'm reserving judgment. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Jim Carrey's there maybe to take up the Nicolas Cage being.
Right, because Nick Cage was doing it.
And then he gave it a bunch of bad press already. I don't know what Jim Carrey's problem is.
Well,
but, you don't shoot a movie like that and say, it's too violent, it's awful.
Well, you know, because of all the handgun things, he's like, I don't want to support handgun, you know, use or whatever this film was. I'm supporting violence. And I think to me that's so reactionary. And, and that's – violent movies is not the problem.
No,
right? You know what I mean? It's so not the problem. And if anything, he should be saying – you know, I've watched a million of these movies. I don't own a gun.
Right, me
neither.
You
know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to buy one because I'm scared. I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're acting in one, you should say the same thing. Like, this is...
It came off really weird the way he... And it was just like he was almost attacking the filmmakers. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
You were just in the movie. Then say no. You read the script.
Right. There weren't handgun deaths before you shot that film?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right.
And you didn't see the word gun in the script?
Right.
Before, so it was a weird thing.
Do actors really read the scripts anymore? Because I can't imagine anyone that read Lone Ranger said, yeah, I'm in.
You know what happens? I think they read the script, and if anyone is like, this is dumb, they start drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp.
Rango.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I think Bruckheimer.
Oh.
So successful.
I know. So they just go, and then you know, the seven-figure paycheck comes, and yeah, I love it. It's great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. No one's going to say what's...
I can't wait.
No one's going to say this sucks, and I'm going to turn this down.
You think Johnny Depp's going to turn down a Pirates of the Caribbean sequel?
No.
You know, Armie Hammer and Henry, how do you say his name? Cavill?
Cavill.
Who's Superman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie.
Really?
Yep.
Will they get to do anything?
I don't know. Ilya Kuryakov will be like, I don't know what we're going to do.
I'm really bummed out at that.
So should we go to DVDs?
All right, let's go.
All right,
DVDs.
Do it.
Okay, The Host, you saw this movie. This is the next Twilight extravaganza that went nowhere.
The Host. And first of all, there's several things I need to do here.
My daughter is 12 and a half, and she read the book, and she saw the movie. I'll weigh in after you.
All right. First of all, we were sent that I have to do this. Where is it? A fan who's from Ireland sent us how to pronounce her name correctly because we keep mispronouncing it. And he was like, where is this? All right.
Well, back in my day, these people would change their names to Sam Jones.
I know. That's what they could do. All right. So this guy, Sean Cooney, he goes, I'm a huge fan from Ireland, so please let me direct your attention to this video for the correct pronunciation of... We're going to do it.
Of Sarsay Rohans.
Sarsay Rohans. For the love of God, please pronounce it correctly. So here it is right now.
Okay. Give your sound.
Saoirse. Saoirse.
Saoirse. Saoirse Ronan. I don't know. There you go. We're going to, the host starring Saoirse Ronan.
So Sasha is great.
Soshik is, so Sean, is it Sean or is it Shahoon Konai?
Now, this is the same actress who was in Hannah, right?
She's great.
No, she was in Hannah.
Hannah.
That movie's pretty great.
Hannah is awesome.
Awesome.
And she does the best she can with The Host. It has a lot of problems. It is just
it's for the Twilight crowd, right?
It's just like, we got to turn.
And apparently not even for them.
No.
Yeah.
It's... But she's a really solid young actress.
She is.
And I'm excited to keep seeing
what she was in The Lovely Bones, too.
Mm-hmm. She's great in The Lovely Bones. Yes. She's great in Hana. And so go see...
The Lovely Bonets.
The Lovely Bonets. So go see Sasha Ronan. And Sean, you knew that we weren't going to actually do that correctly. Right? When you set that in, right?
So how was The Host?
It was a great movie. It was Saoirse Ronan. It's. I guess you could watch this on DVD. It's barely
watchable.
It's watchable, yeah. If you're on a plane.
Okay. My daughter read the book.
She's, go ahead.
And she didn't like the movie.
Right.
She's like, it was kind of
right.
And she's 12 and a half. So
yeah.
So Dead Man Down. This was the thriller. That was another kind of limited release. I can't remember who's in it, though. Let's pull it up.
I saw it. That's what the
Colin Farrell movie. That's right.
Noomi Rapace.
Noomi Rapace?
Noomi Rapace.
Yeah, I just saw this in the Red Box. I'm like, how did that go under the wire? I don't even remember this ever coming out. Did it come out?
I did see it. It did come out. I saw it. It was okay. It did some interesting things and then sort of spiraled out a little bit.
Yeah,
and its admission was the Tina Fey movie.
With Paul Rudd?
Yes, yep. And Spring Breakers. This one I actually wanted to see. I didn't get a chance to see it yet. I'm looking forward to Spring Breakers. It was one of those kind of movies where you're like, oh, well, this looks dumb, and then you learn more about it. I'm like, oh, no, it sounds kind of cool.
You know, it was one of those movies that just slipped through the cracks for me, but many friends who saw it said they liked it, so it was funny.
I think
so.
It was the guy that did the documentary Kids.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez, yeah. Vanessa Hudgens, yeah. And Franco.
Harmony
Corrine.
Corrine.
Yeah,
here's a video and
by
how
him.
To say that.
Yeah, yeah. And Tyler Perry's Temptation. No one here saw that, right? Okay. The Gatekeepers.
What's the gig?
I think that's a doc.
I do not live near one of the Magic Johnson theaters, so I was not able to see Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Nice.
It is a doc. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Here it is. A documentary featuring interviews with all survivors of former heads of Shin Bet, the Israeli security agency, whose activities and membership are closely held state secrets. Oh, that'd be interesting. That sounds like a great documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
I'd see that.
So, okay. So, coming out this week.
We didn't watch any movies on DVD is what we did.
Well, Graham saw a few.
I saw the host.
Pacific Rim. Now, this is going to be the giant movie of the summer, whether it does well or not. But this is really the tentpole. Like, you can't get any bigger than monsters attacking the entire world and big giant robots fighting them. This is as big. The problem is, it just looks like a video game. Like, yo, I can't wait to play that.
It looks like 1998 Godzilla versus the Transformers.
And
I'm not excited at all.
If it didn't have Guillermo del Toro as the director, I would immediately assume it's going to be awful.
The reviews have to be like 90 and above for me to even
I am keeping my trust with Guillermo del Toro. I will be excited to see this movie.
The one thing is, I know that he, you know, is a huge fan of like old school Godzilla movies.
Yes, he sure is.
So when that happens, then I go, okay, well, that's what he wants to do. So he has a passion for this and a knowledge of it. So he wants to make a modern day
monster movie.
And so that makes me go, okay. And I really like Idris Elba.
He's great.
He's a great actor. And I'm curious to see what they do. But
and
man,
Charlie
the
Day
trailer
from always
looks like.
And Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia is
in
it too.
There's an interesting cast, but it's so hard to get past.
Yeah,
this
I'm so like, disconnected from it. I'm just like it just doesn't grab me at
Transformers
all.
Transformers Battleship. It just looks
/ Godzilla. I'm still excited to see it because I'm a fan of those old school kind of monster and giant robot movies and shows. So I'm hoping this is my hope. I'm hoping that it strikes almost like a retro feel to it, to throw back to all of those kind of serials and all those really fun Japanese, like, you know, Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot and Ultraman. And I hope it kind of strikes that feel, that chord, and it doesn't get too bogged down in just the special effects. So I'm going in with an open mind. I'm still excited to see it.
All right.
If the reviews are stellar, then I'll go see it.
All right.
If not, I don't know.
Grown Ups 2.
If the reviews are stellar, I still will not go see it.
Good luck with that one.
Here's my problem with the Grown Up movies. Like, I don't mind slapstick, you know what I mean?
Right.
Comedy. But, like, a movie like Grown Ups, I think it's supposed to be, like, real life, right? Hey, it's my family, and we're meeting up with my buddy's family, and we're having a good time. So when Kevin James jumps off a cliff and lands on David Spade's neck, David Spade isn't dead. Yeah. I'm like, and then the first one, they're like swinging on a vine, and Kevin James like swings like right into a boulder and just rolls down the hill. You know, if you roll down the hill when you're 40,
you're
gonna body cast the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And that would be hysterical if that happened. And then he was in it. So I just then in this new trailer for Grown Ups, you guys haven't seen this. There's like a barbecue. And Sandler and his buddies are out at this table, and there's like beer and stuff on the table, and Selma Hayek comes. Okay, that's Sandler's wife. And Sandler
goes, believable.
Yeah. And Sandler goes, oh, here comes my wife. Secret table. He says, secret table. He pushes a button. The table with all the beers on it falls like to the ground, and then like a new table slides out of the wall because people have that at their house.
And
on that table, there's like salad and stuff.
Oh, so he's a secret agent.
No, he's just a grown-up with a secret table.
Wow.
Doesn't even make any sense. Comedically, I don't even get it.
It doesn't.
Or Nick Swartzen, he's in a toy store and he pulls a tab on a blow-up raft and it fucking shoots him like through like five rows of toys. It's like, who's that for?
I don't know.
It's terrible.
It's like, this is the end.
Oh, my God.
And grown-ups are both a bunch of buddies, let's get together and make a movie and have fun with each other. This is the end. They got creative. It was interesting.
Right.
They put very funny jokes in there. And Grown Ups 2 is just sort of like
walking through it.
They don't care.
They don't care. It's not. Grown Ups 2. The trailer, then there's a moose in there. in their bedroom because they moved to the country.
Oh, like The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd?
It rises up on its... Yeah.
Oh, it's the same footage. They just used
They just used the same.
It's just, I understand Adam Sandler. You know, he's like, hey, I want to do a movie with all my buddies, so that's what we'll do. But Jesus, hey, I like Adam Sandler, but I do not like Adam Sandler movies.
Right.
Hey, I want to do a movie where I get to dress up like a girl. Okay.
Okay.
Here's $40 million.
Yeah. Gonna get Al Pacino.
Well, first one made a lot of money.
And this will probably do well, too.
I'm sure it will. Mm-hmm. All right.
Killing Season, we just saw the trailer for this. Oh, my gosh, you're in for a treat.
I do not understand how this movie is not
getting a big hunting.
IMAX 3D release with this.
Why do I have a beard like a strip club security guard?
I'm going
and my hair is dyed jet black, like my beard.
And De Niro, he'll do anything now, right?
Anything.
Anything. And he hopes that he gets, you know, a Silver Linings Playbook in there somewhere.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at IMDb, the De Niro catalog in the last 5 or 6 years, you'd just be like, what the hell?
That's 15. I mean, like...
Yeah,
like,
you're right. 15 years.
He literally just is like...
You just made the De Niro mouth when you did that. Mm,
I don't care, you know?
A little bit good, little bit bad.
And the next one is VHS 2, and this one we did not get invited to a press screening, probably because the first press screening that we sent Mike Schmidt to, because of the shaky... camera motion, he ended up throwing up in the bathroom about 10 to 15 minutes in.
All right.
So I don't think they didn't invite us this time.
Now, all these people that are listed here, are these...
These are vignettes. They're little horror vignettes.
Oh, okay. So these people directed all... Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I see.
So each one, it's like almost like a bunch of short films with a through line.
And they're scary.
They're scary, yeah. The first one made a lot of money, like, because they were made for no budget. Again, this is like... If you make something for very cheap...
It's like the first Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, you don't have to make that much to, you know, warrant a sequel.
Right. Or Blair Witch.
Yeah, yeah. And then that sequel, Bankrupted Artisan Studios.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening.
We didn't talk about Despicable Me, did we, too?
We didn't. Nobody saw it.
No.
Way to go.
All right.
Made a lot of money, though. $143.
Yeah.
I saw the first one, though. Did not like it.
Steve Carell talks exactly like John Travolta does.
He does.
in The Killing Season.
Yeah, and he's more believable as an animated guy than John Travolta is as a Croatian hitman. I go hunting.
Okay, I'm sorry. You guys were wrapping it up. And I
actually, if you want to watch, if you really want to see Killing Season, just watch John Malkovich in Rounders.
And if you want to watch Johnny Depp in a Western, just rent Dead Man.
Or go to YouTube and watch some of the old Clayton Moore Lone Ranger episodes.
Right, do that.
Yeah, enjoy.
All right, so thank you to our guest, Pat Francis.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, Pat?
Well, I'm going to go back to my work in about when this is over. I'm probably going to have lunch at a new place called The Fish Dish.
Oh.
It's right off of Lancashire.
That sounds good.
And no, you can follow me at Twitter at Pat_Francis. You can find Rock Solid on iTunes. And like our Facebook page. That's about it.
Thanks for doing the show.
Thank you.
So this Friday.
Very excited.
Very excited. This is our annual Halfway to Vegas tour. We're playing Barstow, California at Rosita's.
I'm actually really excited
for
the show.
You know, we've done it a couple years in a row. It's always been fun.
Great crowds. Great food at the restaurant.
Yes. What do you guys do? What goes on there? You guys do stand-up?
Yeah, we're going to just do a stand-up show.
A couple local guys do it, and then...
do a movie trivia part?
Might do a little movie.
We might mix it up a little.
You guys give away some stuff? Giveaways?
I don't know. We might do that.
Maybe give away a drain claw?
We might give away a drain cloth. We have some extras.
We will clean your straws, guys. Bring along.
If somebody posts on the Facebook page that I'm coming to the Barstow show, I want a drain cloth, we will bring you a drain cloth.
Yeah.
All right. There
first
you
two people.
Yeah.
There's two people.
Like we're expecting, there's thousands of people are running to their computers right now. I gotta get a drink. All right, first two people.
Yeah, first two people, because that's all we have is two.
Yeah,
I've already used my two.
Yeah, and I need one.
You need one. So you first one.
Okay, so first
so
one.
First one. First person to come to Barstow gets a drain cloth.
What's weird is I clean all my straws with Drano.
Oh, good.
Is that bad?
Oh, that's bad. No, just you're fine. That's good stuff. Just drink
cleans out the environment. That's good.
So that's this Friday, July 12th in Barstow, and then Saturday, July 13th.
What's the name of the restaurant again?
Rosita's.
Rosita's.
And we posted the number for tickets is on the Facebook fan page, so check that out. Of course, you can walk up and buy tickets day of.
And last time, we had people drive like an hour and a half away just to come to the show. We really appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
It'll be fun again. So, and then I will be headlining the Improv in Hollywood, California, Saturday, July 13th. It's a 10 p.m. show. Doug Benson's going to come by and do a spot. Retta, who's been on the show, who is on Parks and Rec. Andy Wood is the MC, and Mike Schmidt is going to do time.
That's a great show. And I believe Will Anderson
is in town from Australia, so he's going to be on the show. So come by and check that out.
First person to come to the Improv gets a drain claw.
Sure. Pat's going to be giving away drain claws.
Yep. All night long.
All night long.
And then in the champagne room.
Yeah. And Chris and I will also be...
High rollers are free.
Yeah.
Speaking of high rollers, Chris and I will be at the Improv at Harvey's Hotel and Casino in Lake Tahoe, August 14th.
Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, and I'm headlining the Zanies out in Rosemont, August 21 through 24. Check those out, you guys. Visit the fan page, like us, positive reviews, all that stuff helps, and we appreciate it. Thank you once again to Pat Francis.
Thank you.
My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.